Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us out here at the 13th Annual Fan Toy Drive, now walking in after they recorded their show with Gary and Leroy, is Dennis Krause from Spectrum One. Dennis, thanks for coming out.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Hold on a second. I don't hear you. Will's got to get you turned up. That's the one thing we talk about this Packers team, Dennis, and I don't remember what your predictions were at the beginning of the year, but I think most people at this point, at 9-3, as they sit right now, I think most people would have taken this record if you would have given it to them before the season and would have been very happy with it.
Yeah, I think I would have said 9-7. And so for them to be sitting at 9-3, and I hear Gary, and I largely agree with him, although on this case, I don't. Yesterday, for example, the going forward on 4th and 10, and that was driven more by the weather and the conditions and where they were on the field. It wasn't like, oh, it's some lethargic offense that needs a spark. So Gary's not wrong often, but he's wrong on this occasion. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team at this point. I think they're a good playoff team and maybe a division champion. But I think for them to be anointed a Super Bowl team is maybe 1 year too early.
Well, that's the other thing, though. We were talking about this earlier, Dennis, and that is the defensive side of the football. There was a lot of expectations after the first couple of games with this defense of, okay, they're making that big jump with Mike Pettine. He signed a couple free agents. Smith brothers are looking pretty good. Jair Alexander, King, Savage. Defense is going to take that step this year. And now in the last couple of months, it looks just like it did under Dom Capers.
This is not a dominant defense, and, nope. And I think that anybody who thought it was early in the season was being deceived a little bit. It's not a terrible defense, but I don't think it's a shutdown defense that's going to help you win a Super Bowl by itself. It can be opportunistic, had three interceptions against the Giants on Sunday, but I don't feel good about them getting a stop necessarily against the high elite teams in the playoffs. Do you, Gary?
No, I don't. I think at the end of the day, that's what we're looking for, and that's what you're actually looking for out of this game is what you do. I don't know anything more about this team. I don't think we're going to find out much more about this team until they play Minnesota.
Yeah, that's just the way the schedule is. They have a soft schedule other than the Monday night game at Minnesota.
Billy, when we talk about this team coming up and the schedule coming up with Minnesota, and looking ahead, do you fear at all, Billy, that this team looks past the Redskins to maybe the Bears, or looks past both teams waiting for that Vikings game to get here?
I think if there would be anyone that scares me the most, and I understand wanting to look right at Minnesota, but I think you got to look at that Bears team as well as one coming into your place. 1 year ago in week 15, you got knocked out of the playoff contention down at Soldier Field, and they won the division. You can basically do the same with a Minnesota loss tonight. You can be on pace to knock the Bears out of playoff contention with a win, and then also lock yourself up for that one game against the Minnesota Vikings to be the deciding factor for the NFC North. So I think that Bears game still is going to be huge, but I understand you're not going to see a whole lot of what you want out of a 2-9 team, and there's only so many conclusions you can be made. But when you do get a win on the road, last year in the Meadowlands, you played a team that was in a similar situation with the New York Jets, and you were a much worse team, and you had to go to overtime in very similar conditions. This year you're able to get out in regulation and win by 18. I'm going to be a lot happier about that.
Thing to remember about the Vikings, let's just, for the sake of this discussion, say they lose tonight and they beat the Packers and both teams win their other games. Both teams would finish 12-4. Packers would win the division based on the division record tiebreaker because the Vikings lost to the Bears.
Right, right. I mean, we just hope that this doesn't get down to that. What you're hoping tonight is that Seattle take care of business. I mean that, and
it's a big game.
It is a big game. It's in obviously. It's in Seattle. That's a tough place to go play. If they can get a win, Seattle get a win. Then I think all that stuff will fall in place. Even because then you can lose to Minnesota and still be in line for first place in the division.
One thing I know is a win is Wendy's, and they're celebrating 50 years with their birthday cake frosty. They want to celebrate with you for a limited time only. Go to Wendy's, get your birthday cake. Frosty is replacing the vanilla Frosty for a limited time. And then if that's not good enough and you need more sweet, how about their birthday cake Frosty Cookie Sundae that you can get in a cup? The centerpiece of it, of course, the birthday cake Frosty Sundae, surrounded by sugar cookies with rainbow sprinkles on the top of it. Again, only at Wendy's for a limited time. And our thanks to Wendy's for being a great sponsor of us all year long and being, of course, part of the toy drive each and every year. And also want to thank Dick from Iowa, who's out there with his Packer cap on, makes the drive from Iowa the last couple of years to be a part of the toy drive every year. So thanks to him and his family for making the drive out here. A pretty cool deal for sure, no doubt about it. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back on the other side. We'll get more thoughts from Dennis Krause about this hot start by the Green Bay Packers and really concerns he may have as we look forward to the postseason, what may stop them in their tracks of advancing in the postseason. That's up next on the Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh live on the 13th annual WSSP Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest Community Services, presented to you by Annex Wealth Management and Bayview Shade and Blind, all this week broadcasting live at Blaine's Farm and Fleet on 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek.
Yo, VIP.
I don't think these guys ever lost confidence, to be honest with you. I think we had a bad performance, and, you know, you're only as good as your last performance in this league. So I don't think these guys wavered at all. I think they just got back to work and, you know, ignored the noise. And, you know, each and every week is going to be a challenge. And sometimes that stuff happens. And, you know, hopefully we learn from it and we're better for it in the long run. But, again, we're going to have another opportunity next week, and we've got to put the work in order to come out with a win.
That's Matt LaFleur after the win yesterday. The Packers get it in New York, a 31-13 final. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, alongside C. Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, and Dennis Krause, Spectrum News 1, also the host of the Packer pregame show on the flagship network. Join out here on at 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek. Stop by and say hi with a toy donation of a new unwrapped toy. Also, we can just dip your card right on in there, and we can get a donation there as well. Talking about the win as well as what Matt LaFleur just said there, Gary, when you try to figure out if you lose confidence or gain confidence in a team, it's obvious that you can your confidence can be shook after you get thumped like the Packers did in San Francisco a week ago. But it was a team that came in and took care of business, albeit against a game that you when you started this year and put it up on the sheet, this was penciled in a W. You could have written it in pen. You could have written it in Sharpie if you would have known that they were starting a quarterback and came in losing seven straight.
You know, one thing I like about this show is that now I get Dennis Krause on my playing field, and he don't have to cut me off. He don't have to give me a finger. He don't have to wave at me. He don't have to put his head up in the air. Now I get to go back because he disagreed with me earlier. Here's what I'm talking about this Green Bay Packers offense against a team like the New York Giants. Here's what I'm looking for. If in a perfect world, that's what we're looking for, and if we want this team to get to the Super Bowl, in a perfect world, Dennis, you don't need to be going for it on fourth down against a team like the New York Giants if this team offensively is running at an optimal level. And right now, offensively, I feel like that they're not. And maybe my expectation for this team is higher than most, but right now this offense doesn't feel like an offense that's running at a peak level in order for you to go for it on fourth down just to keep it going. That's my whole point there.
I've got two questions for you.
Sure.
What world do you live in, first of all?
What do you mean?
There is no perfect world.
Well, what did Vince Lombardi say? Huh?
Chase perfection.
But along the way.
Yeah. Okay, here's the other thing, though.
I'm glad you remember that. You're a smart guy.
Smarter than I look.
Yeah.
Is the offense peaking?
No.
I wouldn't say it is. But how many points did they win the game by?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, it does matter.
I mean, here's why.
It doesn't matter because they didn't stub their toe when they could have, when other teams have.
Well, yeah. I get that. I get they could have stubbed. I mean, all weekend long we saw teams stub their toe.
Yeah, exactly.
But those teams that stubbed their toes were what teams? Philadelphia? Are we really surprised? Nobody wants to win the NFC East. Oh, Indianapolis lose? Are we really surprised? I mean, give me a team that we really thought that would lose a bit. There was no team all this weekend. Well, Bill would know.
Well, your Super Bowl pick of the Dallas Cowboys couldn't win at home.
Yeah, but they're out of it. I mean, I'm just saying. So what team to year to date right now this season, this weekend stubbed their toe that we're not surprised that they did? Those losses that we had this weekend, none of those teams were surprised that they
lost.
Well,
here's the thing, though, too. Yes, San Francisco lost. Yes, New England lost. But they both lost to playoff teams on the road.
Correct.
If anything, I think San Francisco gained confidence from taking the Ravens to the wire. And here's using the word confidence, anybody who spent any time in the Packers locker room this season, confidence is not a problem, okay?
With that team,
you
no.
You don't have to worry about that. Right. Even after the San Francisco game, the team is plenty confident.
Correct. Totally agree. What you got, Billy?
But when you talk about the confidence in the way that they're able to make some of these plays, doesn't there bring more confidence into the way that you see? And I think it was Tom Silverstein or Pete Doherty, I apologize which one, at PackerNews.com wrote it up. But you're looking at your Hall of Fame quarterback in the elements. Maybe the confidence comes in if you have teams come to your place in January or you go to a Seattle where the climate is going to be like this. You did see your guy playing at a different level than everybody else. Agreed? Or is that not taken with confidence either?
You certainly want teams to come into Lambeau in January, without question. And you want to get a first-round bye, ideally.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're right about those things. I would just say this. Whether they get those things or not, this is going to be a confident Packers team heading into the playoffs. Because these guys in that locker room, and you can say maybe they think they're better than they are, but they're not shaken by events that happen. They believe in themselves.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't disagree with you at all, and I hate saying this, but I got to figure if you don't go, and I know we keep looking ahead of this game, but I got to figure if you don't go to Minnesota and beat Minnesota, how confident can you really be? I mean,
Minnesota is not going to stain the season.
No, it's not going to stain. It's not going to stain the season. But are you asking yourself, how good are we really?
But that's a place that
can't go on.
But isn't that a place that you have not won yet since that building was built? Like, I mean, I understand where you're saying
you
got to have that confidence to go on the road. But, I mean, you haven't been able to win there at all yet.
Yeah, so say the team says, okay, we lost there. Guess what? We've never won there anyway. Okay, fine. I guess that's a good excuse. I like that.
Well, but when you started the year, even if a 13-3 season was what you projected, that Minnesota game is still one that you would have questioned
for sure.
Them getting a win either way.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. No doubt about it. And that's the thing, though. Before the season, we said Rodgers revenge tour, right? That was the thing.
Yeah.
Has it been a Rodgers revenge tour?
No.
Okay. So it hasn't worked out the way that I thought it was going to work out when I had projected 13-3 as far as Rodgers' revenge tour. It's worked out in mysterious ways of how they get to the record at 9-3. Each week it was something different offensively, big turnovers by the defense here and there, and those weeks where they couldn't get the big turnovers and Aaron Jones couldn't get going, those are the games they lost. But realistically now, looking at this schedule the rest of the way out, I don't think it's unrealistic to think they went 3-4 on the way out. And because of Minnesota's loss, now you're in a position where you don't even have to win the Minnesota game to still win the division and be in a good situation.
Exactly. And I think that's a very possible scenario, to finish 12-4.
Yeah.
Minnesota also finishes 12-4, and you win the division.
Sure.
I want to say this about Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not an Aaron Rodgers apologist.
But see, when people come on and start saying you got to,
would you listen?
You got to put it out there.
Would you
first.
Let me finish?
I'm not.
See, this is what I deal with.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Same.
Don't take for granted what he did yesterday in the snow in New Jersey. It didn't turn the ball over. That's not easy to do.
Mm-hmm. He never turns the ball over.
And but that's not part easy of the greatness.
To do. That's not easy to do.
He never turns the ball over.
And you're acting like you shouldn't get credit for that.
You're
going to
give him some big credit because he doesn't turn the ball over. He never turns the ball over.
In those conditions, yes.
Okay, fine.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
You don't give him any credit for not turning the ball over there?
Well, I mean, yeah, sure. I'm just messing with Dennis. I've got him on my playing field. Now. I got to at least go against him.
You didn't think I'd come out this aggressive on your turf, did you?
Well, you know what? This is how I hope the Packers come out against Minnesota in Minnesota.
Okay,
how about that?
Fair enough.
And first off, they're going to have to get a win against the Washington Redskins, going to have to get a win against the Chicago Bears as well. We're going to hear from Matt LaFleur coming up here next as he's about to step to the podium. Dennis Krause joining us out here from Spectrum News One. Appreciate it, Dennis. Thank you for allowing us to get a little bit of an inside peek behind the cameras of what you and Gary are like. And obviously, we didn't get to see Roy or whatever.
I'll stay as long as you want me to.
Can we go through LaFleur? Can you come back?
Oh, yeah, LaFleur's at, what, 245, right?
Yeah.
So I'm here.
Okay. Yeah,
you're here?
I'm here for you.
All right, good.
All right, we'll come back with Dennis Krause next, Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
Well, we feel like we should win a game like that against that opponent. You know, they've been struggling this season, but you still have to go out and execute. You know, they get paid too, and there's a lot of pride on that football team and a lot of good players as well. So it's important for us to, you know, get a good good road victory in a game that, you know, you guys all expect us to win, and we expect to win. But to go out and, you know, to finish off that game in the second half like we did was important.
That's Aaron Rodgers after the game yesterday. This is the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app, live out here at the 13th annual WSSP Toy Drive, benefiting Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest Community Services. It's presented by Annex Wealth Management and Bayview Shade and Blind all week here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek, sitting inside the Bear Sunrooms Studios, bearsunrooms.com, as well as the official bank of the Toy Drive this year. Once again, is Great Midwest Bank. Joined right now are myself, Bill Schmidt, along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Gary Ellerson, for Badger and Packer running back, with the legend Dennis Krause. He'll be on the call as well for Bucks, going after their 12th consecutive victory tonight. Spectrum News One does a show with Gary and Leroy each and every day, or each and every Monday, talking about Packers victories just like this one, 31-13 over the New York Giants. Dennis, I wanted to ask you something, and I heard you say it in the last segment. When you talked about the confidence of this Packers team, you've been around this organization for a really, really long time and seen some really confident bunches. Where does this one rank in terms of the other teams that you've seen in that locker room towards this point in the season?
I rank their confidence very high, but I'll tell you where I rank this team number one, and I've been in the locker room since 1987. I have never seen a team as close-knit that likes to have fun together in the locker room as much as this one. Now, that doesn't guarantee you're going to win a Super Bowl. I'm not claiming it does. I'm just saying that I've seen interaction in the locker room, especially among defensive players, that I have not seen in that time period.
No, I would agree with that. It's a totally different dynamic than we've ever had, I think, in Green Bay. I mean, you think about the Clay Matthews, the Charles Woodsons, that defense. But the guys that they have defensively now, they're not as closed off as Clay Matthews and Charles Woodson. They're a little bit more free-spirited, I guess I would say, Dennis. And then that lends itself with a lot because they're very young. You look at Jaire Alexander. I mean, this team has gotten much younger defensively than they've ever been, and I think, in a long time, really at key positions.
And I think that the young vibe that comes from Matt LaFleur, it's a different personality that this team is. And that's not taking a shot at Mike McCarthy. I'm just saying it's a different vibe.
And
you know, the other thing, hold on one second. The other thing too is, and I think last year really is really where the where it came up, is it seems like the atmosphere in that locker room was probably much different than it had been in years past. Almost like everybody kind of knew McCarthy was going to be out of a job at the end of the year, and maybe it was stale. Dennis, is that what it felt versus this year? A little bit more upbeat, guys having a little bit more fun with the new head coach. Everything is fresh. Or maybe it got a little bit stale in that locker room.
Yeah, I think the way I would put it, and you can really say this about any coach, any team, any sport, it's a whole different deal when you're on the way up and you're trying to accomplish something than when you're trying to accomplish something a second, a third, or a fourth, or a fifth time. There's just a freshness that you want to prove that you can do it. And that's, again, I'm not taking a shot at Mike McCarthy.
Right.
But things change when you win the big prize. It's different. That edge, for all of us, is lessened once you've accomplished something. And I think when he was there as long as he was, it's human nature for some of the players, like Aaron Rodgers, that have been with him for most of that time, if not all of it, to kind of say, yeah, well, we've heard this before. And that's why a new set of eyes a new offensive system. All of those things are good.
Would you say this team is overachieving?
I would say you could. I would spin it this way. I think they're taking advantage of an NFC that's not very strong this year.
I would agree with that.
The whole league's not that strong.
No.
Right.
You don't really have that one dominant team. I mean, it may be Baltimore possibly might be that team after what we saw yesterday between Baltimore and San Francisco. And that could be a preview of the Super Bowl yesterday. But even both of those teams, even having played San Francisco, we haven't played Baltimore. But I don't think of a dominant team that is unbeatable necessarily, Gary.
Well, I mean, if you take San Francisco, is San Francisco three touchdowns better than Green Bay? I mean, because then that will be the dominant team in the NFC. They haven't played Seattle.
I think it was actually 29 points, Gary.
What did I say?
You said three touchdowns.
Okay. Well, I'm giving them some credit. Yeah. So, I mean, and we of course, we haven't played Seattle. So, I mean, we don't know what they bring to the table versus the Green Bay Packers. But if you're just going by that score alone, maybe Seattle, I'm sorry, maybe you look at San Francisco, maybe they're in a class by themselves.
Where's New Orleans?
In San Francisco. Well, I don't know. It feels like they have some flaws, too. I mean, they have something to prove to try to get back because of what happened to them last year. Yeah, every team in the NFL has some flaws. I think if you look at San Francisco, yeah, I mean, they have some, too. Garoppolo. But I think you can get to a Super Bowl with Garoppolo. I mean, Trent Dilfer got to a Super Bowl, for Christ's sakes. I mean, why can't this guy?
Okay, that's nice. Okay, so we got some breaking news. Baby Tausch has it for us. Go ahead, Baby Tausch.
Yeah, Mike Moustakas going on a 4-year contract deal to the Cincinnati Reds. John Heyman, our Radio.com Sports insider, was first on it. And breaking news on the fan brought to you by Radio.com Sports and the midsize Metris for Mercedes-Benz vans. So the first, or the second, I should say, of the big free agent pod for the Milwaukee Brewers goes to Mike Moustakas to the Cincinnati Reds. They were involved and were interested, as we know, about Yasmani Grandal. And now they get the other of the bigger fish for the Milwaukee Brewers. Good deal for him, at least.
According to Ken Rosenthal, it sounds like Moustakas is going to play second base for the Reds, Dennis.
Interesting. Well, the last 2 years had kind of ended up on the short end of the free agent market, so he wanted to be proactive, I'm sure, and nail down a deal early in the season. I do think it's interesting that he stays in the division. I would have predicted if he stayed in the division, he would go to St. Louis, but he got 4 years. And the Reds, keep an eye on the Reds in 2020.
Yep.
With that pitching staff, and they're not going to be a pushover anymore.
You know, that's the thing. You get Derek Johnson in there to be their pitching coach.
Yep.
You get a bunch of guys that are kind of retread-type guys in there as well. And once that happens and Derek Johnson gets his mitts on guys like Sonny Gray, all of a sudden, Gary, Sonny Gray is fixed and looks like the pitcher that he was a few years ago. And we thought Derek Johnson would be a big loss to this team. I don't know if it was as big a loss as everybody thought, but he definitely knows what the heck he's doing. And now they're adding offense.
Well, he most certainly wanted to keep Moustakas if he could. The guy goes out and get 4 years. I mean, he's been playing on a 1-year deal, for the last 2 or 3 years? Good for him. I'm happy for him. I think at the end of the day, that we all knew that this team was going to turn over a little bit and look a little different. And I guess we're, you know, Grandal, now Moustakas, I guess we're on our way to see what the Brewers are going to do in the future by filling those holes that's been vacated.
Yeah, good for Travis Shaw. I mean, this basically just means that I imagine by 7 o'clock we'll hear that Travis Shaw has been tendered a deal for the Milwaukee Brewers, as that's their deadline for when they have to tender seven different guys.
Does it, though? Does this guarantee Travis Shaw a job? Out of necessity, do you think, like, well, we don't really want to pay him, but we're going to have to pay him, because when you go to arbitration, you get a raise. Nobody ever loses money. So we're going to give him a raise. And what will he be making, around 4.5 or 5 billion, somewhere in that
area?
Right?
A little over 5, because he was making 4.6 last year. So, yeah, I mean, he's going to get somewhat of a raise, no doubt about it.
Right. So at that point, you have no first baseman, you have no third baseman. So now, yeah, maybe Travis Shaw wins because they don't have any other options currently, unless they're really going to roll the dice and think they can get a better deal in free agency at first or third than spending that money on Travis Shaw.
Or it's Urias going to third and then Arcia is brought back here as the shortstop, or you give the opportunity to Mathias to try to win that third baseman job. It was known that they were going to turn this thing over. David Stearns was not going to be fooled with the same concoction, the same ingredients to the recipe for 3 straight years and not have that kind of success. It felt like he was going to turn this roster over, and it might be even bigger on the 40-man scale than it was his first year where he flipped 21 of those guys.
Hey, no doubt. Lots of people coming out and making donations out here today at the Toy Drive. Paul from Oak Creek stopped by, made a cash donation. David in Greenfield, he drove down. It's his birthday today, so happy birthday to him. He brought food for the big show and dropped off some toys as well. So, again, thanks to them. And Young Express, don't forget, 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. each day throughout the Toy Drive, like they did last year, will be matching donations, cash donations, throughout the week in the 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. hour. That is our is coming up. And Young Express is the company we talk about so much. They're continuing to grow. Are you looking for a new career? Would you like to be a part of a Christian-based family-run company? A company that's been in business over 27 years. Well, you're in luck. Young Express, the company we talk about so much, is growing. Currently looking to add straight truck drivers and positions in their sales department. Let's talk about the straight truck drivers, shall we? Usually straight truck owner-operators have to lease their truck out with the company. But at Young Express, you don't have to do that. They are looking for those people that want to maintain their independent status and run under their own authority. This is what you have to have. You have to have your own straight truck. You must have a DOT-approved sleeper. It must be dock high. Must have your own authority. And you can have a drive as a solo or as a team. You can run the Midwest region or the 48 states, your choice. The loads are 99% no-touch freight, which means no breaking your back. All dock-to-dock, no home deliveries, and Young Express has 24-7 dispatch, and I feel this is the most important. Over 900 direct customers, over 1,000 partner carriers. Why is that a big deal? Well, it's pretty simple. If you don't move, if you're not moving and you're stuck in a hotel or sleeping in your truck for a day or two, you're not making any money. Actually, if you're spending money on a hotel, you're losing money. So you need to keep moving, and Young Express can do that for you. Check them out at youngexpress.com. That's J-U-N-G, express.com. Young Express, success drives them.
Good for Mike Moustakas. 4 years, $64 million for Mike Moustakas. So this is a dude that passed up the qualifying offer of $17 million his first year going into free agency. Signed with the Brewers for $11 million, then $7 million, and now has parlayed that into $16 million a year for the next 4 years. So that'll set him for the rest of his life. Good for you, Moose. Congratulations. Brewers getting a lot of people paid here in 2019 as they get $18.25 million for 4 years. For Yasmani Grandal, they make $16 million a year for Mike Moustakas. It's the Wendy's Big Show out here at the 13th Annual Fan Charity Toy Drive benefiting Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest as we talk with Dennis Krause here for just a couple of more minutes here on the Fan. Dennis, at this particular point in time, with the defense being how they've played this year and the opportunistic nature of them, do you believe that this is the concoction of a team with a hot quarterback and a pass rush being the main defensive tool that they have that can be somewhat, if getting hot, the recipe for success into the playoffs?
Perhaps. I guess the big word of caution that I have about the defense is their run defense. I still am not convinced that it's going to be good enough to take you deep in the playoffs. And Barkley, I know, had 83 yards on Sunday, but that's a bad Giants team in the snow. So I have not seen, and we saw what the 49ers did as far as their running game, and we know that covering tight ends over the middle has been a problem. They could have used Hall of Fame nominee Leroy Butler for covering guys over the middle, that's for sure. But so I would say those two things, but in particular the run defense, I still am not convinced that it's good enough to take this team where it wants to go.
All right, let's take a quick time out here, and we'll come back. We'll hear from the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur coming up next, and we'll hear from Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler again out here at the 13th Annual WSSP Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest Community Services. Our 13th one presented by Annex Wealth Management and Bayview Shade and Blind. All this week broadcasting live at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek. If you can't make it out, no big deal. You can always donate online at 1057fmthefan.com. We've had great volunteers all day long and all week long. Prospect Baseball Training Academy, Mike Thrun and Travis Thompson out here today helping to collect toys for us. And our much appreciation to those guys for being out here and standing in the cold weather and collecting some toys and cash for us. Up next, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.